Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Positive Disciple. I'm your host, Mark Kolo. And I'm very excited to be here again today. I hope you have been listening to the previous editions, which we have been making, especially on this series of positive, which stands for, you know, the habits of a disciple maker. P for prayer, O for obedience, S for serving the needy, I for initiating conversations with the lost, T for taking risks, I for, you know, identifying willing people to engage with the gospel and disciple. V for visiting and hosting people that you are, you know, discipling. And then E, of course, for exiting with grace when not accepted. But we want to continue to encourage that these are habits and practices that you build into your lifestyle in order to make disciples, in order to engage people where they are and see the gospel flourish in our cities, in our environments, in our campuses, in our nations, and wherever it is that the Lord of the harvest has placed you. Great. Today, I have a guest with me. And on this episode, we will be discussing the element of risk taking as part of the practices of a disciple maker. Now, you know, we will not be able to mention his name and even the specific location where he is working, simply because of the risks involved or the sensitive nature of that mission field. So permit me to call him Brother Christian, and we'll just make reference to him by that name. So Brother Christian, you're welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And tell us about the nature of your field, your environment, where you are working. What is it like, and who are the people there?
I can say, beginning first with climate, that the place is very hot. It's very hot, and with temperatures rising above that 7 degrees, that's the normal. It's the norm.
Okay.
Number two is that there is a lot of poverty.
Okay.
Both material poverty and gospel poverty. Mm. Material poverty, so many people are living, they are not able to meet their basic needs. Mm. You'll find people sleeping on the streets in clusters. They don't have homes, they are homeless. And in gospel poverty, that many of them have never had access to the gospel, they have never had access to a Christian. Their notion of Christianity is all the worst things you see on the television. That is what a Christian is.
Like drunkenness, immorality.
Yeah.
As far as they are concerned, that's
because that's what
a Christian is. Yeah. Because their own faith does not allow that. So if these programs and films that are coming from Christian dominated countries, this is what they are showing, then to them, that's the Christian lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you are there to show them who a real Christian is.
Yeah.
Can you give us a glimpse into what's their worldview in terms of what's their belief? What kind of people are we talking about here?
Okay, so majority of the people are Muslims.
Okay.
Islam. So their worldview is, first of all, they may look superficially similar to Christianity in terms of good works, but they are fundamentally different in the sense that first they believe that Jesus is not the Son of God, because the Quran says that God cannot have a child, all that. So their notion of God, of the Trinity, is wrong. So they also believe the Trinity involves Jesus, Mary, and Allah. Mm. So they say God cannot have a son. And number two is their notion, first of all, on that, as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God because the sonship is an eternal relationship that cannot be changed.
Mm.
So when Jesus means he is the Son of God, it means it's a relationship that no matter what happens, it is an irrevocable relationship. So it's good to know what you believe, so that as you engage them and tell them, you don't just say, Jesus, the Son of God. You know why he's the Son of God. Number two, they don't believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. Because the Quran says that Jesus, that another person took his place, he never died. But we know from historical facts and from biblical texts that Jesus indeed died and rose again. And in fact, that's the basis of our salvation as believers.
So basically here, we're talking about people who don't share the same persuasion or beliefs as we do. And yet, Jesus commands us to go to such people. You know, we take our understanding of what we're discussing today from when Jesus says to his disciples, I send you out as sheep among wolves, or as lambs among wolves. So basically, you are going to a place where you are not welcomed. Lambs are not welcomed among wolves, except if they are coming to offer themselves as as meat, as lunch, you know. So you are not one of them. You are not in the pack of wolves. But yet Jesus says, go there. So what are the elements of risks in the environment where Jesus has sent you?
So I can say, one, the environment is that there's not much freedom.
Okay.
You cannot do as you think. You go make a crusade. That one is forbidden.
What will happen if you do a crusade?
If you do a crusade, they will just pick stones, or somebody will just be maddened up and take a knife. And they were told one of the ways of going to heaven is by killing. You just do it slowly. You enjoy the killing.
You could lose your life for preaching the gospel in a public crusade like that. You know, I remember this is exactly what led to the birth of one of the largest indigenous African mission agencies here in Africa several years ago, 40-something years ago, where some young, you know, youthful, you know, young people decided to do something about the souls of Muslims in the north of a certain country. And they didn't know what to do. So they did what they knew, which is to stage a crusade. So they went and mounted a podium right in front of the Emir's palace, which is like the traditional Muslim, you know, leader in that area. And they preached their hearts out. Young people in their early 20s, mid-20s, and they preached until they made a call for whoever wants to receive Christ. And just as some Muslims were about to move forward, the rest of the crowd, Muslims, picked up stones and they stoned these guys. Many of them were wounded. They fled for their lives, bleeding. It was when they retreated to seek the Lord further that the Lord gave them direction to start a mission agency that right now is reaching over 100 unreached people groups, mostly in Muslim-dominated areas. So you are saying that one risk is preaching the gospel publicly.
Because I can say that we, as Jesus calls us, he tells us we should be innocent as doves, but as wise as serpents. He's sending us as sheep among wolves, but as wise sheep. So this sheep, as a sheep, you know the behavior of the wolf.
Yes.
So you, as a sheep, you need to know the behavior of the wolf so that you can go to the wolf.
So the intention is not to go and lose your life there.
Yeah.
Because Jesus would not have added that second part where he says, I send you, but be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So the intention is not go and die.
Jesus is not sending you to die, because if he needs you to die, he can just take your life through wherever a road accident here, through when you sleep on a banana peel, you break your neck.
Or you sleep and not even wake up.
Yes.
So Jesus can take your life anywhere he wants to.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily on the mission field among Muslims.
Yeah.
So if the aim of being sent out as sheep among wolves is not to go and die, what is it?
So the aim of going is knowing first who holds our life.
Okay.
That knowing our lives are held by the giver of life. That no matter the risks that are involved, if his time has not come, if his time for you to die has not come, you will not die no matter what happens. And his purpose is that you may go and glorify him. For some, God has allowed them to die in that way so that God may glorify himself in that way.
Through their death.
Through their death. For instance, I had a story of a church that was praying that Shiite Muslims might come to Christ, and there was this pastor who was told to go to a certain place by the Lord. He obeyed. And once he obeyed, a few days later, they came, they shot him. Three men came, shot him dead. And then God tells another man to take his place. I think at that time people could say, you are a fool. You're following the same way. So he went. After a few days, three masked men came and took him.
Knowing that there were risks, he still went.
Knowing that there were risks, he still went. Because it's obedience. Mm. It's knowing this is the Lord. And that's why we need as Christians to know the Lord personally. So that as he speaks, he says his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Mm. As he speaks, we can hear him and obey him, no matter the risks, knowing that he is the one who is holding our lives. And so, for that story, what happened? They took him and he went and he witnessed to 900 believers who had had the same dream the same night, and they came to Christ and they with their families.
Wow. So they came and grabbed him, but unlike the first pastor whom they shot, they didn't shoot this one.
Yeah.
They sort of abducted him, but they took him away to a secret location, and he found, when they lifted the hood off his head, he found 900 Shiite Muslim men gathered.
Yeah.
And they told him, tell us about this Jesus, because in the same night, on the same night, all of us have had the same dream about him.
Mm.
So the aim of going is not to go and die,
yeah,
but to bring glory to God. You know, as you are saying that, Brother Christian, my mind is, I'm just remembering that story in John chapter 11, where Jesus was told Lazarus has died, and Jesus stayed back some extra days. So when eventually he told his disciples that we're going to wake Lazarus up, first of all, they said we're going back to Bethany. The disciples said, is something wrong with you? We were there just a few weeks ago. They were trying to stone you. So that tells you that Jesus himself did ministry in an environment of risk. They were trying to stone you. Why are you trying to get us back there? Jesus says, well, Lazarus is dead. You know what one of them said? I think it was
Thomas. It is the doubting Thomas. He had faith. He said, come, let us go and die.
Let's go and die with him. Jesus says, no, this is not about going to go and die.
Mm.
He said, this is for the glory of God.
Mm.
And interestingly, when Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead, great glory came to God, because the Bible says, and many believed in him. So if I'm to summarize what you've said, the purpose of obedience, even in an environment of risk, is so that God can be glorified. And that's the whole essence of our lives, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
I can say one of the biggest fears for every human being is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of death is number one.
Yeah.
And once I read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, it says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die.
Mm.
And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have their life, all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So Jesus came to set us free from the fear of dying.
Mm.
And that's why we say, when we come alive, when we come to Christ, we die to self, we die to sin.
Mm.
It's now Christ. Once we say he is Lord and Savior, many other times, the one for Savior, we know he has washed away our sins.
Yeah.
But many other times, we don't allow him to be Lord.
Lord over our lives.
To be the one leading us. Yeah. That even in the shadow of the valley of death, we can still trust him as the psalmist, and trust he will watch over us.
So this scripture you've just read tells us that Jesus has broken the fear of death already. He has disarmed him who held people bound.
Mm.
Because all through the centuries, people had the fear of death. But when Jesus finished his work on the cross, he broke the power of the enemy who held people bound for fear of death. So that means that if I am alive today as a Christian, I'm still saying I'm born again, but I'm afraid to die, there's something wrong. It means I'm not living in the liberty of the gospel.
Mm.
And it means that I'm still holding on to this temporal life.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, you have to give up this life.
Mm.
That's discipleship 101, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's sad that many people have not yet embraced this life, the fullness of what Jesus has brought, but we're holding on to this temporal one. Again, permit me to just quote from John 12, where Jesus says, if you hold on to this life, I think it's verse 25 or 26, it says, you will lose it.
Yeah.
But if you give it up for my sake and for the gospel, you will find that which is truly life.
Yeah.
Wow. So there are risks involved in the environment where you are serving, seeking to make disciples among the indigenous Muslims. As we take one or two more questions in closing, can you share with us what are the opportunities for disciple makers to come there and, you know, go as sheep among wolves to glorify God? What are the opportunities for disciple makers to actually join you in that mission field?
So the opportunities through access ministries such as your career. You can come with your career. You can come with skills such as plumbing, tailoring. Those are skills that will always find a place. A mechanic, electrician. Those are skills. Maybe you're a salonist.
Mm.
Those are skills that will find their way in. They'll find their way in serving people.
Mm.
Yeah, and once even maybe you're a footballer, you're a good gymnast,
yes,
or those people who lift up weights. Yeah. You can be able to help.
Okay, so there's opportunity for even sporting careers there.
Yeah, sporting careers. So those sporting careers and those skills that you have and the career that you have, they provide access that you're able to provide service to another human being.
Mm.
And that provides you an opportunity to build relations.
But somebody may be listening to this and say, but I'm a graduate. How do you, I gonna go and become a barber or a mechanic? A whole me, I'm a graduate, you know, what then do I do with my certificate? I would like to just point here that if we do understand the gospel and the need for the gospel in places where Jesus is sending us, then nothing is too precious for us to give up. For example, you are a graduate.
Yeah.
I know for sure that you finished from university, but you are not doing a white collar job there. In fact, you are not doing a job where you are being paid to sit in an office and all that.
Mm.
So just to bring out the point that as disciples, we go wherever the Lord sends us.
Mm.
And if it requires that we give up certain things, actually we give up everything to follow him. And then we only take on what he puts in our hands for the sake for which he has called us.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't dictate to him or determine what to do, where to go. He sends us because he is Lord.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. As we begin to draw this to a close, do you have any maybe closing comments, something you would like to just challenge our listeners with?
So I love to say that it all begins in the place of prayer, that as you taking God's word for who he is and looking at ourselves and seeing, oh, we are at this level. We are not where scripture says we should be. And trusting God to transform us. And as he transforms us and renews our mind, scripture says, then we'll be able to know his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other things shall be added unto you. So the first thing is to have the king in your heart.
Mm.
So for you, my listener, if you're not born again, the first decision you have to make Jesus the king in your heart, be the one leading you. Number two, seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom is the dominion he rules. Seek ye first to be in the place he desires you to be. God is the one who made you. Before you were born, he's the one who made you, and he desires you to be in a certain place where you will honor him. And number three, seek to do what is right and his righteousness. Seek to do what is right before his eyes. Once you do that, all those other things that do not interfere with where he has placed you and do not interfere with the king in your heart and do not interfere with doing right, he will allow you to do all those other things. But first, you have the king in your heart, you be in the place he wants you to be, and you do what he requires you to do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. So that's about what we have today. on this episode of Positive Disciple. So excited to have our brother share with us about risk-taking. Now we've understood that Jesus doesn't send us to places so that he can go and kill us. But he does send us to places where we have to take risks, because he sends us as lambs among wolves. But he sends us there to bring glory to the Father, whether it's by our living or by dying. Somebody who has signed away his life, then fear of death is no longer an issue. And that's really the only way to truly follow Jesus. It's by giving up everything, by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and by following him. I hope that you have been challenged and you have gained some insights about the practice of taking risks, so that wherever you are as a disciple maker, you will find opportunities to obey Jesus even when it costs. That's what we are called for, because he is now the owner of our lives. I look forward to seeing you on a future episode of Positive Disciple. God bless you.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.